Hello and welcome to the Help Me Understand podcast. Help Me Understand is a weekly podcast that explores the context behind the things that we experience from day to day, with topics ranging from personal development to parenting to health and fitness and more. Join me, your host, JK McLeod, as I share my thoughts and also host conversations that are meant to encourage you to say, help me understand, in an effort to add perspective to the things we experience in everyday life. Folks, welcome back to another episode of the Help Me Understand podcast. It's been a minute since I've released an episode, so we're going to get back into the groove of things, re-engage the rhythm, as I like to say, with a Friday 4 episode. So if you have not listened to this particular podcast before, first of all, thanks for giving this podcast a shot. So Friday 4 episode is where I pick four particular topics, some of them related to each other. Usually they're not. Typically kind of off the dome, I'll jot down two or three different things I want to talk about, and then usually the fourth one is pretty much up for grabs. Today is no different. So first, what I want to start off with actually is a big thank you to a couple of folks who left reviews recently. So I'm going to take a minute and actually pull those up and also ask that if you feel like you'd like to drop a rating and or review for the podcast, I would forever appreciate that. You can hop onto Apple Podcasts and you just search the Help Me Understand podcast. Usually if you put in Help Me Understand and JK, it'll bring you to this particular podcast. Just scroll down a little bit and you can leave a quick review. One of my many goals for 2024 is to average one review each month. And so far we are pretty much on track for that. Howbeever, the month of March, I don't have any reviews and also haven't really been consistent in getting any episodes out in the month of March. So that is what it is. So let's go ahead and jump on into this. So a couple of reviews that I do want to share. One was from February 29th and it is from Emily K. And she says, I love this show and I love JK because he does such an incredible job modeling what it means to actually listen, seeking to understand over being understood. I find myself thinking over snippets days after listening and carrying the wisdom that comes through the genuine conversations, like some well-worn advice from an old friend or family member. JK has an incredible, simple, yet powerful presence that really delivers because it is genuine and authentic. Highly recommend. So big shout out to Emily. Want to say thank you for that particular review. Full transparency, Emily is a former guest from the show. She was just on a recent episode not too long ago. And also she is someone who will also shoot her straight opinion with no chaser. So I know that if she left this review, she truly means it. So that means a lot to me. So thank you very much. And then also, you know what, as I look, we did get a review in the month of March. So, hey, we're keeping the streak going here. So this one is from the username. It's either Megali or Meg Alley. I'm not sure which one. And it's entitled Thought Provoking. And it says, the Help Me Understand podcast has truly transformed my listening experience by encouraging me to seek to understand rather than simply respond or react in my daily life. JK's innate ability to delve deep into conversations, whether with guests or on solo episodes, is truly captivating. Joining this podcast has been an enlightening journey that I highly recommend to all listeners seeking a fresh perspective on a variety of different topics. So thank you very much for that super thoughtful review. That means quite a bit. So definitely wanted to just start off with reading those. And also, again, just saying thank you to both listeners for taking a couple of minutes to leave that review. That means quite a bit to me. So let's go ahead and kick off the four topics that I've got for today. So topic number one is going to be just a general life update, you know, pretty much what I've been up to over the past month or so. So for those of you who may potentially follow me on Instagram, that's pretty much from a social media standpoint, that's the one that I put the most amount of energy into. You will be aware, if you've been following me, that I've traveled a bit more, well, not a bit more, a lot more than usual over the past about four to five weeks here. So I kicked off the month of March with my annual boys trip, or men's trip, I should say, to the Arnold in Columbus, Ohio. So let's see here. Myself and a couple of really good friends of mine, we have done this particular trip, I believe it's every year since 2018. Let me take that back. We've done it every year since the Arnold has been open to the public since 2018. I had to throw that caveat in there because I believe it was 2020, the Arnold was canceled. And then 2021, I think it was only open to competitors. So people who were actually competing in the events at the Arnold and not open to the general public, if I remember correctly. So this is something that I definitely look forward to each year. It's a time where I'm able to really soak in a lot of different things from a fitness and nutrition perspective. And really, I describe it as fitness Disneyland. It's where you, if you haven't been there before and you are into fitness, it is something that I would highly recommend going to at least once. So what many people are aware of is that the Arnold has a lot of different bodybuilding shows, both for men and women. It is way more than just that. So while there is a fairly large drawing, people that will go there specifically for that particular competition to watch, like who's going to be crowned like the Arnold champion in a lot of different divisions, whether it's bikini or wellness or men's bodybuilding, men's classic physique, whatever it may be. There's so much more that goes on there. I think it's safe to say that pretty much just about any type of individual sport that you can play that you can compete in as an athlete individually, for the most part, most of them are represented there. And I say individual because there's not like team sports like basketball, soccer, football, hockey, like those sorts of things. It's things like martial arts. It's like a Muay Thai. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. They have that. They have the strongman and strongwoman competitions. There is weightlifting competition. There's even foosball. They've had kettlebell competitions there. I know that there's some gymnastics competitions for sure. Those are like offsite from the main area. However, they bring a huge crowd to Columbus every year during that time frame. I mean, there's fence. I think there was fencing one year. I mean, there's so many different aspects of competition that happen over that particular weekend. So you've got that going on. You've got the competition aspect. And then you've got the Arnold Expo. And I think the official name of it is the Fitness Competition and Expo Weekend or something like that. The Expo itself is held at the Columbus, Ohio Convention Center. And it is where essentially just about most of the big name supplement companies and gym apparel companies will set up their booths. They bring their influencers and all that stuff. So it's just basically, like I said, Fitness Disneyland or Fitness Disney World for that weekend. Pretty much the entire fitness universe kind of descends on Columbus, Ohio. So I really enjoy that particular time every year. This particular year, it definitely felt like the Arnold was kind of back. I would say that after 2020, things really started to tail off for a while. Arnold Schwarzenegger had made some comments that were deemed pretty controversial in relation to masking and vaccination for COVID-19 and all these other things. So there were some sponsors that completely pulled their sponsorship of the Arnold weekend. And that definitely showed up as far as less crowds, less booths and different things like that. So all that being said, I do think that this particular most recent one here in 2024, from the crowds, from the representatives, from the different companies that were there and things like that, like just the overall vibe, it was kind of like, okay, the Arnold is back. So that was near the beginning of March. And then about a week and a half later, turned right back around and headed right back out for a fitness and nutrition coaching conference. That was called the Real Coaches Summit. And that was in Las Vegas. So That was so that's an event that I attended last year, and then was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to attend again this year. I really look forward to that particular event, or looked forward to returning to that particular event for a couple of primary reasons. One was the lineup of the presenters for the Real Coaches Summit. Really just a lineup of some of the best in the business, whether you're somebody like myself who primarily focuses on training, or whether you're somebody who primarily focuses on nutrition coaching, like, or a combination of the two. If you are just basically in the health and fitness space and you really just enjoy education and also being able to network with a lot of the right people in the fitness industry, this is definitely the event that I would highly recommend you get on your radar for 2025. So I'm pretty sure if you just go online and you look for Real Coaches Summit, you'll probably find that. The gentleman who pretty much runs that entire event, which is a huge undertaking, he goes by the Instagram handle of 4 weeks to the beach, and it's the number 4 weeks and the number 2 the beach on Instagram. So if you are interested in hearing some more about that or anything like that, I know that he's very responsive in his DMs, so you can always reach out to him to kind of make sure that you're on the distro list for information for next year. What makes this particular conference, I think, different and sets it apart from others, based on the feedback that I've heard, because very transparently, this is the only one that I attend. What I have heard very consistently from fellow coaches in the business is that what makes this one different is that it is specifically centered around really trying to educate people who help people. And that might sound kind of like, okay, well, that seems really basic. From the feedback that I've heard and also what I've witnessed just virtually by attending some virtual conferences before, again, this is the only one I've been to in person, but from attending virtual conferences, a lot of them can be really more geared towards, let's say, like 50% of it being kind of a bigger sales pitch than it is truly educating and getting practical information that you can literally, you just can't wait to get back to back home and get back in your business so that you can start putting these things into practice. And that's a feeling that I had at that particular conference last year and was definitely not disappointed by that this year. So a lot of great information coming from a lot of really solid presenters. And that was one of the main things I was there for. The other main thing is because we had a handful of coaches and also our owner from POP, Peak Optimization Performance. A handful of us were all there, and it's always really, really cool to be able to interact face-to-face with people that you've built relationships with primarily virtually, because we are a remote coaching company. So it's a rarity for us to be able to kind of pull everybody together from all different parts of the U.S. I don't think anybody came from out of the country. Yeah, all different parts of the U.S., whether it was the Midwest, West Coast, East Coast, or somewhere kind of in between. I thought that was a really unique opportunity. And to wrap up this particular bullet point from the final four, it's March Madness right now, from the Friday four, point number one was just the life update. One of the reflections of gratitude that I've got from both my time at the Arnold and hanging out with a couple of my really good friends there, and then going to the Real Coaches Summit and being able to interact with my coaching peers there, is the importance of creating an environment and a network of people who you don't feel like at any point you really need to mute yourself. And that was I'm big. If you're not new to this podcast, then you're very aware of how much I will talk about gratitude and different things like that. And I try to be really intentional about reflecting on particular experiences. And when I sat down to really reflect over the past few weeks and different experiences that I've had from traveling and things like that, that was one of the main things that stuck out, is sitting back and really thinking about how awesome it is to be able to travel and go to a couple of different events where I just feel like I can be who I am. There's no concern that I've got over, well, if I say the wrong thing, then I'm not sure if that group's still going to accept me, or if they find out this particular random opinion that I've got, or point of view, or weird job that I've had in the past, whatever it might be. That's an inside joke for those who may be aware. There's no judgment there. Or if there is, it wasn't anything that affected our interactions over the weekend. So it's just, if you find yourself either currently in a place where you feel like you can just kind of be who you are, don't take that for granted, because it's not something that necessarily everybody is able to experience. So again, if you've found yourself where you've been able to create at least a little pocket where you can be around people where you just don't feel like you have to mute yourself. Like, that's the phrase that just keeps coming to my mind. Take a moment and just really be thankful for that, because that's not necessarily something that everybody can say. All right. So that's bullet point number one, is just a little bit of a life update. All right. So changing gears here, as we normally do on a Friday four, these last three will probably go fairly quickly. Number two is a quick point of view, opinion, perspective, whatever you might want to call it, that I've got on Oprah's special that was on Hulu. And I had jotted down on my notes list, like, Oprah's Ozempic special, and that's not what it was called. It was actually called Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. So if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, if you have Hulu, then this program is available on there. I believe it was about an hour long. It was like an Oprah special. And then right after that, there was a separate snippet that was the after the show, I think. Very similar to when she would do her her weekly talk show or her daily talk show. So I am of the generation that I think it was 4 PM that Oprah was on. Like, I remember this because it was an event. And it would definitely be after I got home from school, like, Oprah was on. So, you know, my mom would watch Oprah. So, of course, I'd be peeping to see what it was. It was always really interesting to see how her evolution, or how much she evolved over time, because I remember a distinct period of time where it was much more sensational as far as, like, different things that she was talking about on there, like the different topics. It was more like, I'm not going to call it like controversial trash TV, but it had more like Maury Povich vibes than it did like the motivational, like, self-development vibe that it eventually started to move towards. Anyways, she recently had a special that came out called Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. And I have had a handful of people who've reached out to just ask what my opinion was on it. Had I seen it, like, that sort of a thing. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to share the main thing that came to mind for me after watching this particular episode or this particular special, was really how everything was framed. Okay. So it is, it's advertised, I think, in the notes as, or in the caption, essentially something that's there to really talk about, like, the stigma of weight loss drugs. Okay. And we're talking like Ozempic, Wegovy, different things like that, because they've started to get a lot more publicity. Okay. And then when you're watching like Hollywood award shows, that's like kind of been worked, it seems, into just about everybody's monologue is talking about like how many people in the crowd are on Ozempic. I think that Kim Kardashian maybe had even like done an interview or something with a magazine where she was talking about how she had gone on it to lose weight fast, you know, that sort of a thing. And really the biggest thing that stuck out to me, beyond really getting into the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness, or whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, or, you know, who it's the right solution for or anything, scoping out even further than that, what really stuck out to me is how much of a divide I believe that this special, like the way that it's marketed and the way that it basically was framed, how much of a divide it's trying to drive, or almost a wedge, I think is the word that comes to mind. The wedge that it's attempting to drive between people. And what I mean by that is, first, you have the name of the special is Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. And my individual perspective on this is it's named that because they're essentially, and they being, you know, Oprah, let's say Oprah and her team are essentially trying to draw a dividing line and making it, hey, if you don't support people using weight loss drugs or weight loss shots, then you don't understand it. You don't understand what it's like, and you're just going to continue to shame those who use it. You're going to continue to blame people who are obese and tell them that they're not working hard enough, they're the problem, and they need to just try harder, or they need to, you know, just suck it up, or they need to whatever. And that's this feeling that I have that I just cannot shake as far as how everything in that particular TV production was centered. And even think about the name of it. Okay. It's called Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. So essentially the whole marketing play is the folks who may potentially decide to go down the path of taking a weight loss shot, they're going to be shamed, they're going to be blamed, and if you don't agree with them, then you don't understand what it's like. And for those who've actually watched the special, I'd definitely be interested in hearing your feedback. If you want to shoot me a DM and let me know what your thoughts are, I would definitely be interested in hearing your side or your perspective and what you've thought about it. Because having, as someone who's watched a decent amount of, you know, whether it's TV specials or YouTube videos and things like that, or listen to podcasts where both sides of the issue are presented. And when I say both sides, what I'm talking about is people who vehemently support them or people who are vehemently against them. I ride the middle of it. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. I think that it's just very interesting that the chosen path of how to really structure and frame this whole special was about basically, if you don't support it, then that means that you just want to shame and blame, and you don't realize that there actually is an obesity problem, and that obesity could potentially be something that has nothing to do with the person not wanting to try hard enough. It's, you just think that, you know, it's their fault. Like, that just seems so like one-sided, was really what I walked away thinking. And one of the reasons, I just said that I was going to share a little bit about why I, for the most part, primarily ride in the middle, because I try to be as transparent as I can remember to be, about communicating where my biases may come from. So I think that something that was interesting was in the special, periodically here and there, Oprah would bring up like the devil's advocate argument. Okay, so during the special, she had some doctors that were on, and she asked them, you know, it looks like you are funded or you've partnered with pharmaceutical companies. So what does that mean? And I believe that the way that she asked that question was to make it seem as though she was presenting like the argument that somebody else may present. If they were to say, well, doctors are going to push this because they're compensated by Big Pharma or they're partnering with Big Pharma. So I think that was like her really, to be honest with you, like super weak, mediocre attempt to make it seem like she was like, quote unquote, grilling them. Like it was kind of a joke, but grilling them about like their connection to Big Pharma and all this other stuff. So she asked the question like, well, you know, I can't remember how she phrased it, but she basically said something along the lines of, well, you're backed by pharmaceutical companies, or you're sponsored with, or you're compensated, something along those lines. She said, well, what does that mean? And their response was, well, that just means that they consult us for our opinion. And then Oprah just moved on from that. Like, that was it. It wasn't even like a softball. It was basically like a, hey, let's make sure that we include one question that might kind of sound like we're playing devil's advocate so that we can just say that we tried. And this is where one of my major biases comes in, because I've personally worked with clients, not just one, like I've worked with a handful of clients who have gone to a doctor, and the doctor has proactively, is that the word I'm looking for? Yeah, the doctor has initiated, that's the word I'm looking for. The doctor has initiated a conversation about weight loss shots when a client has either not said a single word about it, however, they may be at a particular BMI, which that's a whole different episode, but they may be at a particular BMI where the doctor has mentioned like, hey, you know, your BMI is a little bit high. If you were potentially looking to lose a few pounds pretty quickly, we could look at getting you a script for this particular shot. Or a client, a couple of clients, and they secondhand then have talked to me about experiences that friends and or family members or coworkers have had where they've mentioned to the doctor that, yeah, I'm training and I'm working on my nutrition. And yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, just drop a few pounds before going into the holidays, or drop a few pounds before the summer hits, spring break, whatever it might be. And the doctor, again, initiating a conversation about like, oh, well, by the way, did you know that we could, you know, we now have these things available. We now have these things that are covered by insurance, like suggesting this to people who definitely do not in any way, shape or form fit the obese category. So my bias here is to make it seem as though just because there may be some sort of requirement that doctors are the only people who can approve like certain levels of these particular shots, to make it seem like that means that these things are not getting into the hands of people who really shouldn't be using them if they're supposed to specifically be for people who have been diagnosed as having some sort of an issue that does not allow them to lose weight or has some sort of a medical condition, to pretend like just because doctors are the only people who can prescribe these things, that means that they're not getting into the hands of people who are then abusing them, is completely asinine. Like that's where my bias comes in, is that this whole special made it, to me, tried to make it seem as though, hey, you know, these are primarily used for these types of people like us, and we're tired of being shamed, we're tired of being blamed. And in some cases, the reality is, I don't know the percentage, I am certainly not educated or omnipresent enough to know everything that's happening all the time. I'm just saying that in my very small little corner of the world, I'm aware of more than a handful of people who have openly been offered weight loss drugs by their doctor when they in no way, shape, or form are going through any of the sort of things that were brought up during the special, like talking about food noise and addiction and different things like that. These are things that were specifically just being offered up to them as kind of like a, oh, hey, by the way, if you want that, I can get that for you. So I'll start to close this particular bullet point out, just because I think that there's more, there's a lot more to it than just what was talked about in that particular special. And at the end of the day, I also want to remind myself that me watching things like that is part of the whole mantra of help me understand. So I now feel like I have at least a better view of the perspective of someone like Oprah, who may be representative of other people. And I get an understanding of, okay, this is the perspective that you have. I think that really what disappoints me, and I don't use that word lightly, what disappoints me the most is how it was so really expertly framed as, if you don't support this, then that means you're just part of the whole blame and shame revolution. And that's the part that really that really bugs me there. So with that, that is my opinion, in case you cared, about that's my opinion of Oprah's Shame, Blame, and Weight Loss Revolution special. Again, if you watch it, I would definitely be interested in getting your opinion and seeing what you think. All right. We will move quickly to topic number three, which actually is somewhat kind of related to alludes to a little bit of what I just talked about. And this is going to be a quick one. It's not a complete thought, as some of my ideas tend to be sometimes, but it's really just a different perspective on quick fixes. And this is really coming from a very recent conversation that I had with one of my clients who is getting ready to reverse out of a fat loss cycle, has done really well, really proud of the work that this particular client has put in. And they've had primarily like really positive feedback. They went through a 12-week fat loss cycle. And one of the things that they said, I had like jotted it down, because they said like this, although it wasn't super easy, they said this has been the easiest fat loss cycle that I've run in recent memory. And they don't run them often. And I thought that was really solid. However, and one of the things that we got to talking about is that sometimes when something that I've noticed, let me restart this. Something that I notice is that once you've been really focused on your fitness and nutrition for a while, it can become really easy to kind of be that person on the outside who says, I'm not all about quick fixes. Like, I don't fall for that stuff anymore. Okay. And what we were chatting about was that when folks first kind of get started with really committing to their fitness and their nutrition, then sometimes the quick fixes in that particular phase tend to be something that we would call like the 30-day thing, the 6-week thing. I was about to say the 30-day thing or the 4-week thing, and they're the same thing. So whether it's like the 30-day whatever, the 6-week challenge, even the 8-week challenge, that sort of a thing, it's very easy to say like, oh, well, those are quick fixes. And one of the things that this client and I were discussing is that as we become more and more experienced, we can still fall prey to the quick fixes, but our version of the quick fixes, as people who are now fully like embracing this as a lifestyle, who can still be kind of fall into that mindset of like the quick fix. Sometimes we may be handling a 12-week fat loss phase as a quick fix. And if we don't properly regulate and get an understanding of what are the basic foundational things that we need to continue to do well after fat loss is done, and we are reversing ourselves back into maintenance, or even when we're going into muscle gain, then we are no different than the folks who are looking for the 30-day quick fix, right? And that was really an eye-opening thing that we talked about, or something that I thought was pretty interesting that we talked about, was it's so easy after you've been at this for a few years or more to say like, yeah, I'm not all about quick fixes. And you're saying that just because you're not into the 30-day thing or the 4-week thing. But if you, the only time that you really get serious about the basics, getting in a decent amount of protein, focusing mostly on whole foods, getting in steps, drinking your water, trying to focus on your sleep, making sure that you're properly recovered, making sure that you're training to a good amount of intensity. When you only focus on those things during your 12 or maybe even 18-week fat loss phase, hopefully you're not doing it longer than that for most people, but when you only focus on those things for that time frame, that is no different than the person who is trying to focus on those things perfectly for 30 days. A quick fix may look like 30 days for one, and it may look like 12 weeks for the other. It's all going to always go back to, and I'll wrap up this point, it's always going to go back to, what do you do the majority of the time, the majority of the year, the majority of your life? So that was just a quick thing that came from a very recent client conversation that I wanted to point out. All right. And then wrapping things up for today's Friday Four, this is just going to be a shout out to my son, Mason. He has his own podcast called Kids Talk Sports, and he recently has celebrated his 1 year anniversary of having a podcast. So for those who may not be aware, he is 11 years old. And around this time last year, actually yesterday was the official 1 year anniversary. Last year, this time is when he put out his first episode. It's called Kids Talk Sports. And it's obviously about sports, but that was the first time that he put out an episode, and super proud of him. He has remained consistent with getting out at least one episode every single week for one straight year. And it's been an experience. It's been a big learning experience for both of us as we've been working through all the different things that go into making and releasing a podcast. It was really cool just to see him first sit down and, you know, make his logo and then figure out how he wanted to structure an episode. At this point, I could probably take some pointers from him on how to structure an episode, but just watching him and his growth in that has been super exciting. And one of the coolest progressions that I've been able to witness, and I'm expressing gratitude for being able to have been here this long for this journey and, you know, however further he wants to take the podcasting thing. One of the coolest things that I've been able to witness is the growth of this segment that he has called Question of the Week. So I can't remember exactly which episode it was. There was a particular episode where he started doing this Question of the Week, and it has ranged with everything from who's your favorite basketball team to if you had 1 minute left on the clock, who would you pick to be your quarterback if you needed to win the Super Bowl, to what's your favorite road trip snack, like all sorts of different things, right? And I specifically remember the first 2 to 3 times that he was doing the Question of the Week. He would give the Question of the Week and then say, you know, you can email me at talksportswithmason@gmail.com. And we would check the email address and he would have no responses 1 week. Then we'd check the email address the next week and he'd have no responses. And I want to say that this went on for about 4 to 5 weeks. I should have fact checked this, but this went on for 4 to 5 weeks. He had no responses at all. Then we checked it 1 week and we still had no responses. And he asked me, well, Dad, do you think I should even do this? Like, why does it even make sense to do it? Because nobody's responding anyway. And that was, as a parent, you have those teachable moments, right? Because you want to teach them things all the time. And sometimes you realize it is going to go in one ear and out the other. So why even bother? This one was a teachable moment where he was willing to receive some encouragement, where I just let him know, hey, I get it. And also, you can just continue to practice, you know, how you're talking about the Question of the Week. You can continue to practice coming up with different questions. And eventually somebody, like one person, is probably going to respond. And that's basically what happened. 1 or 2 weeks later, he gets like 2 responses. Then the next week, he gets like 4 responses. Then there was like 1 week, I think he got like 7 or 8 responses. And to be able to open up the email, and he sits with me when we open up the email, to be able to have him like watch his face when we open up the email and he saw that he had multiple responses finally to the Question of the Week, a feeling I will never forget as a parent, just being able to watch your child kind of go through the ebbs and flows of, man, I feel like I'm putting in the work and it just doesn't seem like it's paying off. And you're like, get ready because this is going to play itself out throughout your entire life. So that's what I'm just going to close out with, is just a massive amount of appreciation and gratitude for being able to be a part of watching the growth of how he's been handling that. So with that, on that note, if you, as a listener of the Help Me Understand podcast, would like to shoot him an email to congratulate him on his 1 year anniversary of the Kids Talk Sports podcast, you can send that to talksportswithmason@gmail.com. And I'll actually put that in the show notes. If, as a supporter of Help Me Understand, you'd like to also shout him out via email and tell him that, tell him congratulations for 1 year. I know that he definitely likes recognition. He does enjoy that. So, all right, that is, that's topic number four, and that's going to close us out. So if you have listened this long, I sincerely appreciate it. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to another episode of the Help Me Understand podcast. Take care, and I'll talk to you next time.